Hey, everybody. We got a couple questions after we stopped recording on Clubhouse, and we are using those questions to record a little bonus up. So enjoy your bonus up. This is not the official DeFi Daily. This is just a bonus episode.
Yeah. So my question is, if, you know, we've been talking about DeFi, so DeFi, everything is about like contract-based system. What is, you know, great about Zcash besides its privacy aspect, but why do you like Zcash given that you can't really, you know, make contracts out of it?
Yeah. Given that like it doesn't have, it's given that it doesn't actually have like a smart contract system. I love the smart contracts. So the way I look at the cryptocurrency landscape is essentially four pillars. There are four use cases for cryptocurrency. I know that's like a ridiculous thing to say, but that's kind of how I think about the world. Is there's four use cases for cryptocurrency. You have Bitcoin, which regardless of how it started, where it's ended today is it is a store of value. Like it is expensive to make transactions on it. It is worth a lot of money. It is the most secure in terms of secure from code exploits, secure from government censorship, secure from, you know, pretty much every form of security you can imagine. Bitcoin is the most secure. And so it is the one that if you had to make a bet that I was going to buy a coin today that will still be around 100 years from now and will have appreciated in value, Bitcoin is the one that I make that bet on. So there's the use case, which is store of value. And what's interesting is that other coins have come into that use case. So like Pax Gold, which is a token on the Ethereum network, is literally backed by an ounce of gold. Like one coin is backed by 1 ounce of gold. So that's nuts, right? Like that is another store of value coin because gold is a store of value. And you can actually, I think if they say if you have like 87, you can actually redeem them for gold. Like you take it into their office and get freaking pound of gold or something. So there's like a store of value coins. There's then cash coins. So coins that will be used to buy cups of coffee. That would be either like CBDCs, like we talked about, like the Yuan, central bank digital currency, or the USDC, which is it's not a CBDC, but it is a, it's a US stable coin. And then you'll have other ones like, you know, Dash, which is not a stable coin. It's a Bitcoin style coin, which has these really great cash features like instant pay and really low transaction fees and changing block sizes. Those are going to end up being, because the fees are going to remain so low on those types of coins are probably going to end up being inflationary. I could be wrong about it, but the idea is that like cash is never deflationary. You want cash to be inflationary. So if you are trying to go after the use case of like a cash style use case, then you really should end up doing a inflationary coin. And honestly, like the design of Bitcoin is such that 100 years from now, there will be almost no new Bitcoin minted. It'll be very, very low, but the fees will be high enough that miners are still making money. The problem is if you optimize for high transaction throughput, the fees will be so small that miners are not making money. So then you have to just keep on minting coins. That's one of like the fundamental tensions with like Bitcoin Cash and Dash. And so that's sort of the second use case is cash substitutes, things that I will use instead of a credit card 10 years from now. The third and fourth are, there's two other use cases. One is smart contracts, and the other one is privacy focused coins. Those are the ones that I sort of like. And then smart contracts cover pretty much everything. Like in some ways, like a smart contract coin can be a superset of almost every other coin that's out there. Like you can build, Pax Gold is a token built on Ethereum as a smart contract that does store of value kind of operations. And so that's why Ethereum is really in a class of its own, where it's a platform level for coding up other things. And that's why I love tokens that operate like that. I love these platforms because it's such a different way of thinking about the world. It's building something that is a universal computer that's running continuously around the world at all times and is consistently like making decisions that are consistent across the entire world. Like there's something so powerful about that. So you look at like all the different use cases for that, you know, including up through like, you know, the betting markets and all these different things like that. And there even are privacy coins on Ethereum. Like there's this thing called Tornado, which is essentially uses very similar mechanisms to what Zcash does, but on the Ethereum network. It's just really expensive to run because Ethereum is so expensive to run right now. And so I love smart contracts because essentially the smart, everything else we talk about is a coin. Smart contracts are a protocol that you can build any other coins out of. Now, necessarily, they are always like almost always designed as inflationary. Like they are not designed. Ethereum is not designed to be a deflationary asset, like store of value, like Bitcoin. There are two of them are getting printed every 13 seconds. And that's the plan for the foreseeable future. And there's no hard cap on that like there is with Bitcoin. So that's why I like Ethereum as a, I like Ethereum as an asset. I like Ethereum as a technology platform. It isn't necessarily my favorite investment from a what I think is going to go to $1 million kind of perspective. Like I always think that Ethereum will be worth less than everything else. Now, the price of Ethereum will be directly correlated to the amount of transactions on the Ethereum network. So as the number of transactions goes up and it scales with Ethereum 2.0 and things like that, then you should see more demand for Ethereum because you need to spend it to spend gas to use the blockchain. So that's like, there is a built-in mechanism for demand, but that's different than like the demand that required, you know, Bitcoin, the number everyone always just say is like, there are going to be fewer Bitcoin in existence than there are millionaires in the world. So if every millionaire wants to own a Bitcoin, then the price has to go dramatically up. Like it has to change. And so I like Ethereum. I talk so much about Ethereum because it's a foundational platform as opposed to all the other protocols that are out there. They really are not really quite like that. And they're kind of sneaking around. Like Bitcoin Cash is trying to add, you know, tokens and some smart contract features, but they'll never be as good as Ethereum, at least not in the next few years. And then that goes with like Zcash. Zcash is awesome, but still is fundamentally just a single protocol coin. It really is just doing one very specific thing. But that's also why it's so nice. Like that is both a deterrent or a diss on the protocol itself. But it's also what is so awesome about Zcash as a coin is because they're just trying to solve one really small problem, which is secure, private, non-traceable transactions. They can do that super well. And so like that's why like you know 20 years from now, Zcash will still be an anonymous protocol and there will still be people using it to you know exfiltrate money from country from like bad governments and countries they're in and things like that. So that's all super powerful, but it's not like Ethereum where there's something going to be, you know, a 10,000 different use cases on top of Ethereum. Does that make sense, man?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for answering, Pat.
Awesome.